Good afternoon and welcome to this week's Gnostic Radio program of Adelaide on PBA FM 89.7. Very glad you could join us today. You're with myself, that's Diana Azam, and today we welcome our special guest joining us from Portland, Oregon, Gnostic instructor Carly Samish. So hello, Carly.
Hi, Diana.
How are you?
I'm good.
That's good. And thank you for coming on the program today to share your knowledge with us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Yes, it's our pleasure. Okay, so Carly, you've come on the show today to talk with us about Gnostic astrology. So let's start with what it is that interests and inspires you about astrology.
Well, astrology has been really interesting to me because it shows our lives as a reflection of the stars and the planets. So we are a reflection or like a holographic image of these great celestial forces. And there's these archetypes that exist out that we can see in the sky and we can also see in ourselves physically and psychologically. So we also see it in the mythology as well. So, for example, we can see the planet Mars moving through the sky, and we see that it's a red planet. We can, you know, see that without a telescope. And Mars, we may know, is related to the Greek god, the Greek-Roman god Mars or Ares, who's the god of war. So we see this planet in the sky, and then we also have that force inside of us. So everyone has this aspect of this strength, this force, this power, in some way, in some combination inside them. And then all the relationships, it's related, Mars is related to the metal of iron, and we have a little bit of iron in our bodies physically. So we can sort of see it on all those different levels. We can see the planet Venus, and Venus and Aphrodite, who's the goddess of love and beauty. And so we see Venus in the sky, and actually that planet in her orbit makes a beautiful, elaborate star pattern, or it's like a flower pattern. So this planet just exudes harmonious energy, and we have that inside of ourselves as well. And we also have the related metal, copper, you know, in some small amount in our blood. So it's very interesting to see how we're all unique in these different infinite combinations of the planetary forces, and yet we're all connected and we're all united by these archetypes. So I've always found that just very interesting.
And how the macrocosm reflects the microcosm.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. And then I also, then since studying Gnosis, I've found that the language of astrology, so the planets and the zodiacal signs, is very much interwoven with our sort of Western esoteric tradition and our Western occult tradition. So Kabbalah, we see the planetary symbols in the Tree of Life. And in Tarot, we also see the planetary symbols and astrological symbols. We see it in alchemy and all those ancient drawings of alchemy, the numerology. So it's all fits in, and it's all very much a part of this really vast and rich system that we're studying.
Seems to extend quite into everything, into all aspects of life as well.
Definitely. Okay. Definitely.
So could you tell us, there's a common understanding of astrology, but, you know, this talk is about Gnostic astrology. So how is it that Gnostic astrology fits into the commonly known astrology?
Well, I would say that in a lot of ways, astrology, as it's generally understood, and then the Gnostic astrology that we practice or know about or study, from what Samael Onvior, who's the founder of our Gnostic movement, he wrote these books, these things are very similar. Samael Onvior studied with the Masons, and he studied with the Rosicrucians, and so he was very much exposed to, again, this Western esoteric tradition. So the sort of Western teaching of astrology is comes through in his teachings and what we would call a Gnostic astrology. the properties and the characteristics of the planets and the signs that, that he writes about in his books are very much similar to things that I've studied in, you know, sort of classical astrology, not in the Gnostic tradition. But what I would say is that the main difference is that astrology, that's just sort of out there in the world, is used, at best, it's a psychological tool used for self-inquiry, self-improvement. You know, it's great. There's lots of really wonderful practicing astrologers out there currently. And then at worst, you know, we see it just cheap divination, fortune telling, you know, this sort of thing. So, you know, maybe that's not so useful. But then what is different about Gnostic astrology is we're really trying to discover these forces with our consciousness in a conscious way. So we want to work with the energies of the planets in a conscious way and have a conscious experience of it, or with the zodiacal signs, and actually investigate those energies and those forces for ourselves and know, and not just, you know, believe what we were told and so forth. And that's definitely the spirit of Gnosis. Samael Onvior describes it really nicely in his book Zodiacal Course, which is one of his books on astrology. And he talks about the doctrine of the eye and the doctrine of the heart. So the doctrine of the eye, this is all this information that comes to us through through the intellect, through deduction. It's human. It's just it's about the mind and just how we normally learn things in the world. But the heart doctrine comes through intuition, and it's divine, and it's produced by masters of the internal worlds. The heart doctrine, he says, opens up the doors to the hall of knowledge. So with the Gnostic astrology, again, yes, we have this same information with the characteristics of the planets and the signs, but then we just want to go deeper, and we want to know with our intuition and with our heart what it means. I have another really beautiful quote here from Samael that I'd like to share. He says, "A heart temple, which is the secret dwelling of a sidereal genie, always exists within the stellar nucleus of any sidereal sun, planet, every lunar satellite or comet. Thus, the entire infinite is a system of hearts. That is why esoteric astrology is the religion of light and of the heart." So I just can picture that whole, you know, the sky just filled with these hearts. That's the beating heart inside of, you know, this conscious being, which is a planet, or, you know, as he says, a moon or a sun.
That's beautiful. It's like it's a living science.
Exactly. And so he says that astrology is this religion of light in the heart. And then looking into the word astrology, it has some roots in the Greek and also the Vedic, the Hindu tradition, and they call it the science of light. So it's just interesting to me that we can look at it as a religion of light or a science of light, but astrology is still just about how this light unfolds in our world. So how our essential nature, which is that light of our consciousness, manifests through our solar system and the different planets.
That's a very, yes, inspiring way to look at it, because I know there's some people that they don't like the idea of being, you know, set or classified in a particular way, which, you know, the normal sort of, well, as I understand, the normal astrological understanding is, and that it's not so fixed like that.
That's right. And Samael even says in one of his books that he was born under a certain sign, and through his esoteric work, he actually was able to change his sign, which is very interesting. I'd never come across anything like that until I read it. So certainly it's something that influences us very much, but it's also something that we can bring the consciousness into and understand in a deep way, and then even change, you know, at certain levels.
Could you talk a bit about using the astrology as a psychological tool, to how to know ourselves? And
Definitely one of the useful things is just to see our tendencies. So it's just another tool to bring awareness into, you know, some like what might be sort of a blind spot if we're used to working in the world in a certain way under the influence of our particular sign, our particular element. If we're, you know, a fire sign, we're used to being in the world in a certain way. And so just as a psychological tool, it's useful to kind of have that reflected back to us to see, you know, that as an archetype, to see the strengths, you know, the deficiencies, how it affects other people in ways that maybe we hadn't noticed. And there's just, you can go to infinite depths with it. Just, you can know just the basic, your sun sign. Most people kind of know that, your basic sign. You can look at the astrology chart and see all the other elements, all the other planets, and it can be quite in depth. So I've found it interesting and also just helpful. Again, just coming back to that kind of archetypes to expand out beyond my personal what might be an idiosyncrasy or something like that, and to see it in more of a universal way and get a bigger perspective.
Hmm. Yep. Okay. Well, we'll go to our music intermission. So the piece we have is chosen by yourself, Sacred Women, Women as Composers and Performers of Medieval Chant, the Kyrie Eleison. Could you tell us a bit about your choice of song today?
Yeah, so it's from the Ensemble Star Band, and it's the prayer Kyrie Eleison. It's their rendition of it. So this is a Greek-Arabic prayer. It's very ancient. It translates to Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy. And I chose it just in the spirit of that sort of Greek Hellenistic roots of our particular Western astrology system.
Hmm. Okay, and you're back on the Gnostic Radio Program of Adelaide with myself, Diana, and Carly Samish. You're just listening to the Kyrie Eleison, the Greek-Arabic rendition by the Ensemble Sar Band, Sacred Women, Women as Composers and Performers. Beautiful piece, Carly. Thank you for that.
Yes. I also enjoyed that piece. I mentioned that I picked it because of sort of evokes that Greek Hellenistic sort of region and era, but I also really like it because it's rhythmic, and astrology is also just about cycles and rhythms, and so just as that song, it's very rhythmic, but it's just a repeating prayer, you know, Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy within it. So I just feel like that's so much about what Gnostic astrology is about. Our lives are just these repeating rhythms and cycles, you know, that we see kind of reflected out in the sky with the planets. But within that is that prayer and that devotion.
That's a beautiful correlation. Because Gnosis isn't anything special. It's just things that we're trying to understand in nature. So, yeah.
Exactly.
Okay, great. So just moving on, astrology is represented in so many different traditions and different ways. Could you speak about that, and do they relate, or are they sort of talking about different aspects of the same or different parts of the same sort of structure?
I believe that from what I know about other systems, they're certainly, you know, in the grand scheme of things, they are talking about the same thing, the movements of planets in the zodiac, you know, the constellations. And I'm aware of, at least now, the systems of astrology that are maintained and studied and preserved really well. The Chinese system, the Mayan system, and the Vedic system. And again, I'm sure there's others that I'm not aware of. But even though with the big picture, they're definitely the same spirit, I've noticed that it's pretty different. It's hard to correlate exactly some of these systems. So it's different numerology sometimes, sometimes an emphasis on different planets. And actually in the case of the Vedic, they use a different zodiac. They use the star-based or sidereal zodiac, and the Western uses the tropical or earth-based zodiac, so it ends up being pretty different. But again, I just keep coming back to the Western system being most useful, of course, because of, as I was saying, with the our Western esoteric tradition, but also I'm more culturally attuned to the Western Greek sort of thought than these other systems. And also the Western system developed in the Northern Hemisphere, so the ways that the lights hit the earth and the things that are emphasized and the constellations that show up at different times of year are all particular to the region that I live in. So sort of from my eyes and from my psychology, it makes the most sense. Again, not that any of the other systems aren't useful, but definitely the Western corresponds mostly to what I experience.
Okay, yeah, that's an interesting about the different the star base compared to the other more local constellations, you could say. Sorry, I really don't know much about astronomy, but that's quite an interesting, because space is so big, and so it makes sense that there's different sort of systems using different energy convergences. I don't know what they're called.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So normally when we talk about the Christ, and we know that in Gnosis we have an understanding of the Christ beyond just the man, Jesus Christ, so that Christic force of Chokhmah, of, the part of the Holy Trinity. We don't normally associate the Christ and astrology. However, is there a relationship there between them?
There is. It's a really interesting relationship there, because, like you said, we know that there's that aspect of the Christ that was Jesus Christ, the person, the man, historically. And then in Gnosis we talk about this cosmic Christ force that is, as you say, very much connected to Chokhmah on the Tree of Life. So we see in Chokhmah and the Tree of Life, we actually see the zodiac itself resides there. And the zodiac is this wheel of constellations that we see in the sky, made of the 12 constellations. And it's related to what we would call the Law of 12, which is a law that is about crystallization or completion. So it's this process in Chokhmah that's about the Christ force, that is going through this process of 12, of completing something and crystallizing something. And there's ancient pictures that we can see of the zodiac with Christ in the center, which is really interesting. So Christ is surrounded by his 12 disciples, these 12 different energies of the zodiac. So, and then looking at the Tree of Life, if we can kind of visualize it, the zodiac is in Chokhmah, and then there's the seven planets placed on the different sephiroth below that. So the zodiac, what it represents in the sky as we see it, is something complete, something divine and whole and crystallized, and this Christic force of completion. And when it comes and passes into our solar system, the different planets concentrate that energy in different ways and kind of refract that energy. So our circumstances, as on Earth, as humans on Earth, is in its own way, it's imbalanced, it's incomplete, because of just the nature of living within our solar system. So depending on when we were born, we're influenced by these different planets that are concentrating different zodiacal signs in different ways, and then that makes us, that sort of imprints us and becomes what we might call our karma, our circumstances, our particularities, and sort of goes back to your other question about the psychology. So in a way, we're seeing, we have that completion inside of us. We all have that complete zodiac inside of us, but we also have a natural imbalance in a way, because the planets have concentrated the signs in certain ways, if that makes sense.
Wow. It just brings up more questions for me. So it's good because you've now related it back to the Kabbalah. Mm-hmm. And the seven, so the seven planets in the lower regions of the Tree of Life.
That's right.
So in working with each part of the Kabbalah, we bring that balance back with the planets and hence the constellations that are in Chokhmah. Is that...
That's right. I mean, we learn about it. It's like there are our guides and our teachers, you know, to continue and to go back up to the tree and, you know, experience that Christic force in a pure way. And of course the planets and the planetary regions have their own, are divine forces themselves. But it's a marvelous tool we can use to invoke those forces to help us and to guide us.
Okay, so and if we have a particular sun sign, which we all do, would that mean that we have more of a strength in that particular corresponding region of that planet?
Yes, that means that the sun was concentrating the energy of a certain sign at the time that you were born. So, for example, right now the sun is in Scorpio. So it's concentrating that Scorpio energy onto our Earth right now, and anyone born during this time will be imbued with those qualities. And so, it's a strength in the sense that it's a concentrated type of energy, and the sun is so important. You know, that's our central heart. So the sign that our sun is in is, you know, central to us. And within that sign, there's, you know, strengths and weaknesses and sort of various, you know, qualities that we can study. But certainly it's something that that flavors our life and flavors our path and contains a lot of lessons.
Say, for example, me being Libra would have, like, the ruling is Venus. So Venus... pertains to a particular part of the Tree of Life.
Oh, yes, yeah.
So I would have a stronger affinity to that aspect, or does it not necessarily work that way?
I haven't investigated that specific relationship with the Tree of Life, but that's absolutely something that anyone can look into. But it certainly might mean you have an affinity with that planet and that planetary regent, you know, and the things related to Venus in general.
I'm definitely interested in looking back over the relationship between the planets and the Sephiroth in the Tree of Life, because I've never really understood those relationships and how they worked, but now sort of seeing it in a broader perspective, it's been really helpful. So...
Great.
So we've got a minute or so left. Did you have any final comments to leave us with?
I think what I really wanted to share mostly is that just so we have that completion inside of us. So I explained it, you know, somewhat theoretically. You know, we have this whole zodiacal wheel, but astrology is not about sort of a predetermination or a fixed thing. It's something that is useful for us to investigate in a way to learn about ourselves, but always remembering that completion, that divine light that we have inside of ourselves, you know, no matter what sign we are, no matter when we were born, anything like that, and just coming back to again that prayer and that devotion that's sort of deep inside, just our lives and the imbalances or the cycles, whatever you want to call it.
All right, excellent. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me, Dana.
It's our pleasure. Have to sign off for today. We look forward to you all joining us next week, same time, Tuesday. Good afternoon.